Well, welcome everybody. Good morning to those of you who are joining us live on Facebook this morning. This is Lizzie and Justin. We are here again for another week of Turning Towards Life, which is a Third Space project. And welcome also everyone who's not with us here live, those of you who are watching on our turningtowards.life website, which has all the recordings of all the previous 237 conversations, Lizzie, that we've had so far are all there. Or maybe you're joining us on a podcast or some other way. You are also welcome to be here. And some, obviously, Lizzie, you and I have been here right from the very start, over four and a half years ago now, and many others have been. And I want to say welcome to all of us who've been here for a long time, but also welcome to those of you who are joining us anew. It's one of the things that we know is that this conversation keeps on gradually spreading itself out in the world. People introduce one another to it. And for those of you who have just joined us, you're also very, very welcome to be here with us. We, Lizzie, I know you and I have had this sense for a long time that although this conversation is between you and I, it's not between you and I, it's one that exists in the in-between us and everybody else who's in alongside us. So thank you everyone for being part of this conversation, and thank you Lizzie for bringing another a source, a wellspring from which our who knows what conversation is going to flow.
Thank you, Justin. Gosh, I feel slightly shocked by the 4.5 year thing. There's some crazy way that this accumulates in time that feels really shocking to me. It feels new, you know. It's like it doesn't feel old. Something that's 4.5 years feels like it's old, but it's not old. It's alive and feels new every time, really. Maybe we'll run out of sources one day. Maybe there won't be another one. Are we scrabbling around, or will we be able to find anything? But for now, we seem to have enough. So yeah, hello everybody, and Justin, thank you as always for being here. And it's such a given that we turn up. It's so wonderful. So today, this source is called Falling Down by Nana Aida. And we're going to both read it, and then we'll see where this conversation today takes us. So here we go. Falling down. We try so hard to stay up, to keep from falling down, yet there is a falling into ourselves that is of the essence. There is a tumbling into the heart that means we must open to our beauty and our pain. Without a willingness to surrender to a flow of feelings, receive them with compassion, we may never come to know that sweet sense of oneness with ourselves. That simple bliss in being beneath all our distress. We try so hard to stay up, yet there is a falling down that is of the essence.
Thanks, Lizzie. So I'm going to read it again, these words by Nana Aida. And just to say to all of us who are listening, maybe because the sources are such, so much comes from them. Maybe if we know that lots of people listen to this, you might be doing the gardening or out for a walk or in the car or who knows what. If you can, just see what it's like to let yourself soften just a little so that these words can reach you. It's called Falling Down. We try so hard to stay up, to keep from falling down. Yet there is a falling into ourselves that is of the essence. There is a tumbling into the heart that means we must open to our beauty and our pain. Without a willingness to surrender to our flow of feelings. The text has just disappeared from my screen. One second, Lizzie, and then I will be able to continue reading. Here it comes. just going to catch up with just where I was. I'm back. Without a willingness to surrender to a flow of feelings, receive them with compassion. We may never come to know that sweet sense of oneness with ourselves, that simple bliss in being beneath all our distress. We try so hard to stay up, yet there is a falling down that is of the essence.
Thanks, Justin. As you were reading, the words that really spoke to me were the falling and the tumbling words, because it felt to me like it was the possibility that there's nothing to do. Like falling and tumbling feel like they're natural gravity made things. And so I don't have to sit there and try and feel my feelings or try and get beneath my distress. It's like I could relax and it would happen. So I feel this invitation into a natural way of feeling, rather than having to make something or practice something or do something, that this is just how it is if we relax and stop trying to stay up. Something would happen that would bring compassion towards the way we're feeling. It would allow us to experience the flow of our being. So I feel very, like this is a really kind poem, like a really gentle invitation of non-doing. And I think that's so opposite to some kind of self-improvement or being a better person or something. We're just allowing and surrendering and falling and tumbling, and that it, as we do that, we can trust that sweet sense of oneness that Nanaida is talking about.
Such a great place to start, Lizzie, with what you just said about the invitation here is to let ourselves, to let something happen. And it was occurring to me that some of us, and I know by no means all of us, but many of us who've been particularly shaped by a very strong form of the wider culture that many of us have grown up in, have been taught again and again exactly the opposite of this. That to live is always to strive and always to effort and always to prove and always to, it's sort of built in to, it's built into our education system. It's built into the way that lots of work works. It's built into a lot of the kind of background understanding of what it is to be a person, that for many of us, that you should always strive and push and create, make and shape. And of course, that's one side of a really necessary pair that involves all that we do to make, to put effort in to have something happen. But we've, so many of us have been skewed so far that way that we need words like Nanaida's words to, and your, what you said, to say, hold on. There's a real gift in, and an absolutely necessary life-giving gift in letting ourselves fall, and I wanted to say it in this really, really particular way, because I think, I'm certainly talking about myself. You can feel so much in me that sort of automatically rises in, that is tuned into that judgment that our wider culture has, that even our own flourishing should always be something effortful. You should prove, like what you were saying about self-improvement, but also has a kind of distrust of letting go.
Yeah.
So I'm really with the letting go, and yet there are also parts of me that are so socialized into that culture, I can feel them go, shouldn't I be doing something? Shouldn't I be protecting myself? occurred to me that when you were talking about it, that of course, when I say that, I'm only talking from some parts of our culture. So I think about, for example, jazz or the blues. There are all kinds of art that are already going, let go, fall in. It's not like the whole of our, it's not like the culture that any of us live in is one thing. So there are so many places that are saying, fall into yourself, let what's going to happen happen.
Yeah.
Go along with. And so I'm just grateful at this moment to be practicing falling in here with you, seeing what I can keep doing to notice any part of me in this conversation. You know, such a great container for this. Lots of people listen with us. Can I just let myself fall into the conversation and fall into myself and fall into you and not try to game it or craft it or win it or prove something?
Yeah, I'm really moved by your, when you said about there's some way that we're kind of inherently taught to mistrust this, mistrust the letting go. And I feel like it's such a ongoing, profound learning that in the letting go, there is something there. Like, for me, it manifests as if I let this feeling be felt, it will end. Like, for lots of years, I thought, well, no, if I open that box, I'll never survive it. You know, if I really fell down into that place, I'm not gonna make it out alive. Like, I have to not do that one. And then, of course, circumstances happen where you can't avoid it. Well, certainly for me anyway, like, I've come to the place where I can't push it down anymore, so I've had to fall in. And always the process is a process. Like, I can trust that it's a process. It's not the thing that's gonna end everything. It might end some things, but I still am here at the other end of the tunnel, if you know what I mean. And still I doubt, like, when a huge big feeling comes where I feel really wounded or like devastated in some way, which happens on a regular basis, I have to really remember that this is okay, this is human. Like, I have been given a human experience. I exist, I'm in a body, and this is part of it. So if it's part of being human, it's okay. Like, this is a normal part of being human. If I'm experiencing it, it surely is okay. And that kind of faith in that there'll be something beyond this darkness, something beyond this pain, something beyond this physical horror of an emotional pain. With every time that it happens, there's more faith, there's more ground to stand on, that it's a process rather than it's a destination. And I think that's one of the traps I've had, is like, well, if I go there, I'm going to stay there. So I can't go there at all. So I have to keep myself up, or I have to keep myself going, or I have to keep myself together. Because if I fell, it would never end. And so far, sometimes it takes time, you know, and it's not a quick thing, but it moves. Things move and things change. Like, that inevitability feels real now. That things move and change, and I can feel, and it shifts, and it's a process rather than an ultimate ending or something of my existence, which is often feels like that's the threat. And the deep concern is that if I do this, I'm never going to survive. It's too much for me. And yet, here I am, and, you know, there I am lots of times.
Yeah, that seems right to me. You spoke about, I think you said about there being a process here, that I've been thinking a lot about grief recently. Grief's such a great example of this, is that it's a feeling and it's also a whole orientation to life for a time, and it's also a process that, if we'll let it, will work its way with us, and we will be changed by it, but it also won't always be here in all likelihood in the same form. It keeps on changing. It's like being in a stream or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think we're like a stream too. And I suddenly got really curious whilst you were speaking. I suppose I hadn't thought about this maybe for a long time, is, gosh, what a thing it is that we humans can resist feelings.
Because
there's one way that we could be where there would be no inner resistive force at all. We could just feel all the feelings all the time. Everything would just come through us.
Yeah.
But we do also have this way on the inside.
Yeah.
Of holding back, of something in us holding back of something else that's in us. And the first thing that happened whilst you were speaking, I was going, oh my goodness, that's amazing. Like, what is that? That we can do this thing inside us of holding experiences and parts of us. We're made that way, that we can have this vast inner landscape, and there are things holding each other, resistive forces, and we can play our part in it. So that is just extraordinary to me now I think about it. But the other thing is it also seemed to me very much, given that we do have that capacity to resist, which I think we're taught, most of us are taught in some way or another a lot, and different, it depends upon the family you grew up in, and it depends upon, often on gender stereotypes, and it depends upon, you know, all of that stuff about what we're taught about what to do with this. Seems to me more and more that not only is the flow of feelings that you were talking about like a flow, and as Nana Aida says, that there's a way that we come to this sweet sense of oneness with ourselves when we allow the flow to happen, that what we keep away are also quite like people. So if I'm feeling grief and I work really, really, really hard to keep the grieving one out on my inside, and the grieving parts of me behave quite like people who've been shut out, hammering at the door, pleading to be let in, suffering, making themselves known in all kinds of ways. When I see myself that way, it becomes much more obvious. If I were in a house with all the doors shut and there was some one of me who was on the outside banging to get in, I could, you know, I could put my earmuffs on, I could put my hands over my ears, but really the moment that all of this is going to get resolved is when I open the door to the one who's outside and say, I know it's hard, please come on in. Let's work this out together. And it really is like that. And we suffer so much from the ongoing effort. Not only does the part of us that's grieving, say, or joyful, that's outside the door, not only is that part of us suffering, and that adds to the suffering that's around, oh my goodness, it takes so much effort to bring this we can bring the resistive force, but let's not kid ourselves that it's taking up a giant amount of our attention and effort, even if we're not really aware that that's what's going on, to keep the situation the way it is. And it's no wonder we feel so far from ourselves and so split apart from ourselves when we're unwittingly or wittingly carrying that on.
I'm really noticing something really happened in my body when you said that it could be pain, but it also could be joy. Like all the ways that I know myself where I kind of deny that joyfulness could be here now. Like when I'm in a bit of a tantrum about not wanting something to be the way that it is or something, I feel like there's an active way that, you know, when someone's inviting me back in, there's an active way that I'm like, no, I'm not ready to be happy yet. Like I really go, no, not being happy, even though I can feel it's there. And but it would kind of be giving up my agenda for like whatever story I've got going in righteousness, and this is how it should be. So I'm noticing also how kind of painful that is for me. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm holding something at bay that really wants to come out now. Like, forgiveness is here, but my story, my miraculous inner constellation of me has the capacity to say, no, not yet. That's going to stay there. Happiness is not welcome here right now, because there's something that has to be done, or some, you know, a story that has to be maintained about you or something. And what a relief it is to kind of go, oh, okay, I'm going to give that up now. But it's really hard. And it's so interesting to look at it from a kind of, you know, the thing that we might be resisting or finding that inner resistance to is something really difficult and painful and dark, maybe. But it could also be lightness, and it could also be humor and fun and beauty. I know so many parts of me that get in the way of me experiencing how beautiful something is. And I walk down a street of blossom and I forget. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, like I was noticing that all the way, and I wasn't allowing myself to feel what it's like to be in the street of blossom or something. There's so many sophisticated parts that I hold at bay somehow inside in that miraculous way, like you're saying, because of some small little agenda that I have. And how miraculous that, like you say, that we can do that. Like when you said that, I was like, oh my gosh, we essentially have control over our inner experience a lot of the time. Like sometimes I have zero control of my inner experience. It's just an eruption of eruptionness. But so many times I can, you know, for example, when a set of boundaries change and someone comes in our house and I have to behave myself in a different way, I can do it. You know, it's like I can put something to the side and say, right, I'm going to deal with that later. Or it's miraculous, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really, when you said it that way, to appreciate the necessity of it,
yeah,
that we're able to do that. We're able to say, this part of me, this part of my experience is for now going on the outside so that something else can be on the inside. And
yeah,
it makes so much possible. Just as you said, it's such a great example. You know, guests come to the door.
Mm.
And we find a way of moving away something that had been very present that would have us be, I don't know, self-obsessed or distracted or whatever it is. And we can welcome, one way that we can get into being welcoming to one another is to know when it's time for a part to have a rest or to be on the outside. So it is actually miraculous that we can do it.
Mm.
Because what you said about blossom trees, I don't know if you remember the way you said it, but it was so illuminating. And I thought, yes, that is what's happening. You said you'd been aware of the blossom. You'd been aware of the blossom trees all the way. And yet, and somehow you weren't aware that you were aware of it. So some part of you is taking all of that in. And then that moment where we fall in, as Nanae does ask, when we drop into ourselves, when we let go, we suddenly find out that we had been aware of them all the time.
Yeah.
I've just walked along the street of blossom trees, and some part of me has been paying attention to that, and here it is. And we know that that's what's been going on, even though at the time we didn't know that. Hard to talk about. Yeah. So that seems right to me, and it seems then true that when there are parts of us that are outside the door, they still have their own life and their own experience. We're still conscious there, even though we're not conscious of being conscious about things.
Yeah.
So it's great when the guests come to the door and you can put something to the side, or, you know, or I have to go to work now. And if I carry this thing with me into my work, even though if I carry it in the front, in the center, if I'm in contact with the fullness of it at every moment, I may not be able to make the coffee for the person who's coming in through the door or complete the spreadsheet that I'm doing, whatever it's, you know, whatever it is. So it's really sophisticated move that we can do. And I suppose what I'm being reminded of is the and yet, it's then really easy to do that when it's not called for.
Yeah.
And then what happens to the one, what happens to the one that's been taking in the joy and the wonder at the blossom trees, who's kept on the outside? What happens to that one?
Yeah.
But also look at how much of us is being excluded when we live that way for any longer than we need to. And I really get, I mean, the joy thing. We were at a wedding celebration a couple of weeks ago, and everyone, there was such joy. And for quite some time at the celebration, I was in exactly that dynamic. I'm not, for one reason or another, not letting this in. I could feel the walls inside me holding. Mm-hmm. I don't always know what to do in that situation, because I can't, as the words of this poem remind us, it doesn't get resolved by another fight, another inner fight coming up.
Yeah.
Eventually I let go enough and was able to get into the stream of things.
Mm. Justin, you're reminding me of, you know, when something happens to you and you're not quite sure what went on and you just go, okay, on. And then you have a quiet moment and you think about it and you reflect on it again and you learn all kinds of things about what happened. So you think back and you go, hold on, that woman was actually really, really cross with me. And I didn't realize until now, like there's a way that this other miraculousness that's coming to me is that we can kind of find ourselves somewhere else other than where we are now and re-experience something again. Which I guess is also the kind of, that there's a gift in that. And there's, I think it's probably really connected to the way trauma keeps happening to us too. Like we're those kind of beings that when something traumatic happens to us, we can live it again and again and again. Like we don't just move on from a moment of joy or difficulty or trauma or anything. It's like, it all exists in the tail of us. Like it's there to be reflected on. It's there to be revisited. It's there. That's always available to us. Somehow that's really occurring to me also as miraculous now, and also very powerful, that we need to know that we are these kind of beings. And I need to know that you're that kind of being, so that I'm not creating something in the tail of you that is going to keep hurting you. You know, it's really important that we know that, you know, often, I know I probably talk about this a lot, but often people say, oh, your children aren't going to remember that. They're too young to, they won't have any memory of that. And it always feels so wrong to me, you know, understanding ourselves the way that we're always seeking to in these conversations, Justin, and in our work, to say that a being isn't going to remember something is not the point. Like all the things that happen in our history are accessible in our consciousness in some way. Never mind whether we can remember them or not. That's like the, you know, that's only part of it. These experiences of being human are in our fabric. They're not necessarily memorable, but they are right there, just as I can go back and replay an occasion in the supermarket where someone was cross with me and I didn't realize, and then I realized they were, and it occurs different to me in reflection. That same mechanism exists all the way back through our lives and probably beyond. And it feels suddenly, I don't know, like quite opening to see that that's what capacity we have. Is that we can reach back to anywhere. And probably in any given moment, we're always reaching back to everywhere. And we are a comparatively small little portal by comparison to what's gone before and what's happened to us. And you're only ever seeing a kind of a small part of me by comparison to the magnitude of what's in my background and in my history and in my story and in my ancestry and my family and all the happenings of getting me to this spot right now. We are vast, and we have access to the vastness in different ways. And I know in my history, there have been moments where pieces of my vastness have opened up to me that I hadn't ever seen before. So just because I can't remember it right now doesn't mean it's not going to be accessible at some point to me to be in contact with. And that just seems totally crazy in this moment that that's true about us beings.
Gosh, it's such a thing. I'm really with you in this, that there's a way in which, do you think any one word I'm going to say here will quite do justice to what the feel in me of what you're saying? But I was going to say it's all carried with us. But even that, Lizzie, is to make it sound like I carry it all inside me somehow.
Yeah.
Like a memory or a... And I don't think that... It doesn't seem to me that way of looking at us like we're big memory filing cabinets with some kind of computer algorithm that can go in and withdraw memories. And if there isn't a memory in there, it didn't affect us or something. The way you're saying it is like... It's like we're always part of an expression of the flow of everything that has been, and it's flowing through us all the time. And it doesn't have to show up as a memory that this or that happened, because that's too can do. I remember when, but it's more like all of life is right here, always, which is one of the reasons why it really matters how we treat one another, whether or not we think someone's going to remember. That's not the question. Mm-hmm. But also where it's sort of circling me back to is this invitation that opened our conversation, which is for us to see, you said this amazing thing, which seems really true to me, that sometimes we find ourselves opening to something of our vastness that we didn't know. And what a gift that is, when we discover that we are way, way bigger and deeper and wider than we ever took ourselves to be, that we've been taking ourselves to be something much smaller than we really are. And the resistive processes that we've been talking about that allow us to keep this and that out, which are so necessary, sometimes because of trauma and sometimes because, friends coming to tea, and sometimes because that's the very, very same process that we're being invited by these words in this source to give ourselves an opportunity to let go of, so that the vastness that come through. But when we, as Nana Aida says, when we get to be beneath all our distress, and then we find that it really is indescribable to be a living one. It's not at all ordinary. It's very ordinary and not at all ordinary. And how called for that is when so many of us find ourselves feeling way too shallow for ourselves, like we're walking machines or something, and we've forgotten our extraordinary depth and beauty and indescribability and the wonder of being this one.
Oh my gosh. Well, Justin, that seems like a very lovely spot to end in, the wonder of being this one. And I want to say thank you to you, Justin, as always, and also thank you to Nana Aida for this poem. And also thank you to we have an alumni channel, Justin, where everybody in our programs goes and they post poetry all the time. And this is where I found this one. Oh. I want to say thank you to everybody who's listening from our more close-in community of coaches and everybody who's completed some part of our programs that we do, for also being poetry lovers, there seems to be a good swathe of people who love poetry and who keep posting it and finding more. So I just want to thank everybody for that love. And we will be back next Sunday. And it's already May somehow, 2022, for our, what is it, 200 and something, 38 something. So we've got a whole bank of things that you can listen to, by the way, if you wanted to look at turningtowards.life and see what episodes exist before this one, if you're new to us. And you can also sign up to receive this on a weekly basis into your email inbox, if that's an easier way of finding us and finding the link to where we are, and a reminder to listen as well. So thank you everybody for being with us. Thank you, Nana Aida. Thank you, Justin. And we'll be back next week at the same time.
Thanks, everyone.